Welcome to the 10K Collective, my friends. Now, look, if you're listening for hacks and short-term tactics, I'm afraid you are in the wrong place. Let me tell you about the 10K Collective Mastermind. First of all, its members meet in person. They know each other well. They all make over $500,000 a year. Several make several million a year. Many have doubled their revenue over the last 18 months. If you're that kind of person, then this podcast is made for you. Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-Commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by yours truly and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you're the owner of a thriving online business and you want to become the best e-commerce leader you can be, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many topics, go to www.theecommerceleader.com. Ladies and gentlemen, spoons, boys and girls, Mr. Mayor, and whoever else is listening, this is the 10K Collective podcast, part of the family of amazing FBA podcasts. You can see from the decals behind me if you're watching the video. And today we're with Will Christensen of DataAutomation.com, who are the experts at automation and integration. Today we're going to plunge straight in on the tools for Amazon sellers. Will, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
And let's deal with these tools for Amazon sellers. I know you spoke at the Prosper Show a while ago, so that's really cool. You're obviously aware of how the world works for Amazon sellers. What are these tools that you can share with us?
Honestly, tools are, I kind of geek out on tools in general. I'm kind of a software nerd. I had an assistant who came to me once and said, you know, Will, I feel like you are an individual who is the Tony Stark of software. Like you're just in the middle of all of the tools. So I'm going to mention a couple here, and I'm going to kind of give you like a one-liner. Here's the tool. Here's why I love it. So honestly, the one that's kind of up on my screen right now, and so it's kind of in my face, is Slack. And I find that a lot of Amazon sellers haven't adopted Slack yet. And the reason I think a lot of them haven't adopted Slack yet is because they haven't realized how inefficient email and just regular Google Hangouts is. I find a lot of people using Skype to communicate with their VAs or different individuals that way. I love Slack and its ability to create channels, to create a context where everything goes. Basically, it's an instant messaging platform that allows you to do direct messages back and forth between individuals. And then it allows you to create public and private channels where you can discuss things like key metrics that the business is going on. And it gives you a way to keep the context of the conversation going. So, for example, we have a Slack channel called Access Needs. And anytime someone needs access to something, they go into that channel and they post, hey, I don't have access to this Amazon Seller Central account. How do I get access? And then we kind of go through that process to figure out exactly what that looks like and get it where it needs to go, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I'm just discovering Slack myself. I'm very guilty of using Skype as the primary medium for communicating with VAs. And it's okay until you get to the point where you try and dig into some information from weeks ago. And then it comes back to that thing like, I'm sure I shot a video about this. Did I even tell you about that? What was the link for that again? And then you're into that whole nightmare you described so elegantly before. So anything that helps you get organized up front is a great thing for sure.
So my executive virtual assistant and I, when we use Slack, I have an entire channel dedicated to the videos that I create for her. So I use another tool we're going to mention here called Screencastify. And Screencastify records videos and drops those videos into a Google Drive folder. And then I use another tool called Zapier to automatically pick up those videos and push them into a specific Slack channel. So anytime I record a video, I literally title it in a certain way and it pops it out into the Slack channel and tells her what she's supposed to do with it.
My inner nerd is just loving this because I use Screencastify and I've got a lot of videos on there. I've got Slack now. I've set it up. I haven't really been vigorous at implementing it in most of my stuff, but I'm like, oh wow, I could do that. I can so totally see how that would save me. The assistant comes back to me in 3 days and goes, Mike, where was that video? Oh yeah, I forgot to send it to you. Sorry. And that's a project that's 3 days behind now. So I totally get that.
And so I've got it set up now so that if I don't put the word in all capitals, private, in the title of the video, it automatically goes to my VA and says, hey, I was too lazy to title this, so please bug me about what this video is even for and where it should go. So if I record a video, it goes to her, period. Unless I write in all caps in the title private. And Zapier is totally capable of listening for that word private and being like, oh, don't send this to her. So if I wanted to like make a video for my partners talking about everybody's salaries or something like that, that I wanted to be a little more private, I totally could do that. And I made Zapier drop it into a channel and away it goes. And then I'm not hunting through a thread of threads. I mean, imagine how much conversation goes back and forth between me and my executive virtual assistant. If we didn't have channels, man, I would be in all sorts of trouble. So I try to use direct message communication with another individual. I try to define those channels and say, this is information that we're probably not going to need again. This is about chatter about what's going on. If I have information that we're going to need to look up again, I try to create a channel that's associated with that client or whoever else it is. So we've got a lot of channels in our system.
I mean, that can get a bit overwhelming, I guess, but at least it's a lot less overwhelming than undifferentiated stuff. Okay, so we've got Slack, we've got Screenfastify, we've got Zapier. What else are your fave tools?
So another one is the tool we're using right now to communicate, Zoom. And a lot of people have heard of Zoom, but maybe, well, especially now they've probably heard of Zoom. Really powerful, very stable tool in terms of video calls and getting face-to-face with people and getting some of those other pieces out of the way. I just really appreciate how stable it is. They've run into their growing pains, but even with the growing pains, it's outpaced several of the others that I've used.
I've got to mention Skype as my kind of anti-tool for that. I mean, because having recorded podcasts for years now, Google Hangouts was a bit of a nightmare and it crashed computers. And then Skype just had a habit of freezing. And the fact that Skype is kind of in beta now and keeps asking you for feedback at the end of every single call after 20 years of existence or whatever it is now, I just find slightly, you know, ridiculous. It's very Microsoft to the nth degree, right? Always in beta, okay, but at some point after 20 years, maybe you're not in beta anymore. So I'm totally with you on Zoom. Absolutely sold on Zoom.
You shouldn't be in beta anymore after 20 years.
No, not after 20 years, I kind of figure you should know what you're doing. You know, the internet's only 25, 30 years old as a thing, isn't it? Okay, so that's like my anti-tool. I mean, I use Skype a lot, to be fair, but for texting, I don't dare it. For recorded important videos, no, Zoom all the way. So what's the next one then? We can agree on Zoom for sure.
Absolutely. The next one that I would mention to everyone is clipboard management tools. So clipboard management tools, if you're not using one yet, you are currently wasting 10 to 15 minutes a day. This is probably my number one, like if you're not using this yet, you really need to be looking into it. I use one for Windows called ClipClip. There are many of them in Mac, they're the same thing, but what it essentially does is it takes everything you copy. I mean, you can set exclusions to say like, okay, if I'm copying out of a password program, I don't want you to save it into my clipboard manager. And you can manage it so that it's a little more private and some of that. But it is so powerful for what it's capable of in terms of being able to get that where it needs to go. So really, really sharp stuff in terms of getting that into its proper place and then being able to go back and you can search the history. So instead of having to go copy, paste, let's say you have a group of order numbers and you want those order numbers to be copied individually, so you don't want to copy the whole block of them, you can double click, copy, and then you have all five of those in a repository that you can then go to the other system where you're trying to go look up those order numbers and you can go look up each one individually. So it's clipboard managers are huge for the Amazon seller.
Excellent. Okay. What's the next tool?
Okay. So another tool that I recommend is called LastPass. LastPass is awesome. I mean, in terms of being able to manage and look at everything that way, it's just very real in terms of what's out there and how it can help you. I've been incredibly impressed. So LastPass is a password manager. And it is super valuable from the standpoint of being able to manage all of that password instead of writing it on the back of like an envelope.
I live by LastPass, and I've worked with clients who occasionally, like one person I was trying to work with, fortunately for not very long for obvious reasons, that she couldn't even log into Amazon Seller Central account for a while. I'm like, this isn't going to go very far. Do you have a password? Do you have them written down? Do you have a password manager? So like the first thing I did with her was just introduce her to LastPass because her life was not functional without it. So you got me at hello there. What's the next one?
Another one that I would highly recommend if you're trying to set up, you know, splash pages or anything like that for products, I actually recommend using a combination of WordPress, a theme from Elegant Themes called Divi, and WooCommerce. So you may be like, WooCommerce? Who uses WooCommerce? it's free, guys. Like, you cannot beat it. Like, in terms of, like, I can set up an entire e-commerce mini store for under $100. It's and that's, the $100 was to pay the guy on Fiverr to help me set up the store, right? And that's if you didn't know how to do any of it yourself. And Divi is so powerful in terms of WYSIWYG, drag and drop, editor kind of feeling and view. So would highly recommend looking into those platforms if you're trying to just create some simple splash pages and you're on Amazon and you're wanting to kind of bridge the gap and test some of those other things out. And that's not to say that it even comes close to Shopify or BigCommerce or some of these others that have all of that power built into them. But for some of that basic functionality of just, I just want to set up a splash page and do a promotion or a special. I want to start dabbling in my own e-commerce store. Really powerful.
Excellent. Right. Well, Divi theme, I've come across, actually got a website somebody else built for me that is on Divi theme. He's always bitching about the theme that I've got on WordPress. So it's something I may have to look into again. Next tool.
So another tool that I would highly recommend that a lot of sellers are maybe using to some degree or another is Google Sheets. You'd think, well, everybody uses Google Sheets. Yes, but do you use Google Sheets? If you were to spend 15 minutes with me, I will show you some things that Google Sheets can do that you had no idea were even possible. It just so powerful in terms of kind of where you can go with that and what it looks like to really build out, connect those different systems together, hooking that up again to Zapier. So we've talked about Zapier. I think that'll be our next tool that we talk in more depth about. But the ability to organize that data and push it out to where it needs to go and then collaborate on it with people is unreal.
Absolutely. And by the way, just the more primitive sort of agricultural version, most people don't use Google Drive at all. And I've got a client I was working with just yesterday, and I said to him, okay, can we look at the spreadsheets for the profit and loss projections for this product to sign off on it before you go and order, you know, several, like $15,000 worth or something. So it's really important to get it right and collaborate on it. And he was working on numbers because he's on a Mac. So of course, you know, upload it to Google Docs. I said, oh, okay, well, I'll work it on my Mac, but next time let's just export as a CSV file, have it as a Google Sheet. We can both work on it in real time. It's kind of a no-brainer to use it. So as a collaboration tool, it is absolutely superior to Excel. And I would urge anyone who's not using, you know, just get off Excel and use Google Sheets. Pretty much the same, right? Would you agree? It's not much of a learning curve from Excel to Google. If you're talking simple stuff, not your clever stuff.
The simple stuff, it's going to be very similar to Excel. The other thing that's interesting is Microsoft is actually catching up a little bit with Google Sheets. Their online spreadsheet tool is actually coming out and it's becoming competitive to some degree or another. I just had another automation expert text me and say, I'm switching everything to Microsoft. And I was like, really? So the jury's still out. I haven't gone back in and evaluated some of the suite that they're putting out and putting into play. But I mean, it's only a matter of time, right? They were the original. I mean, think about it. Your Office suite was all on your computer and it has been for years. And so when the Goliath starts coming back and really starts catching up with what Google's doing, there's something to be said about comparing the two and seeing what they're coming up with. Up till this point, I still think G Suite's a better option over the Microsoft suite that's there. But I think there is something to be said of kind of watching and seeing where that goes.
Absolutely. It depends on your faith in Microsoft, doesn't it? I mean, I have to say, okay, Skype was developed by somebody else and bought by Microsoft, but that was a few years in. And people who keep things in beta for 20 years have got to earn my trust back. But hey, you're right. Let's watch this space. Maybe they'll do a good job. So Zapier, this is, I think, a thing you could probably do an entire podcast about, because I know you're passionate about this.
That's going to be our final tool for this episode, because we're going to run out of, we're going to run right to the limit here to tell you a little bit more about Zapier. Zapier is an automation tool, and it's all about connecting point A to point B. And you listen for data over here and push it over here. And it's got all sorts of formatter tools in between that will allow you to transform and map and change that data however it needs to go. So think, I get an invoice from a manufacturer. I put that invoice into a Dropbox folder, and then I email a copy of that invoice over to someone on my team who handles accounts payable. So that whole flow, completely automatable. Like you can set it up so you can listen for that, and you can say, okay, when I apply a label to a specific email in Gmail, I want to automatically download the attachments of that email, throw it into this folder, and then send it over to another individual as a forward with whatever I want to kind of make it go that way. totally possible that could be completely automated. All you're doing is adding that label and moving on, and it's going to take care of the rest. So just mind-blowingly powerful in terms of taking something that would have taken several hours of coding and is now just inside a platform.
It's something I've used. I have to say I'm a bit Sorcerer's Apprentice with it. If you know that story, it basically means that the Sorcerer's Apprentice learns a bit of sorcery, but doesn't know how to turn it off, and it goes a bit chaotic, as per the Disney film of that, the same thing. So I've had a bit of that effect with Zapier, for example, with podcasts. If I get someone to book in for a podcast using Schedule Once, which is another tool which saves me hours and hours of time going back and forth with emails. Can you do Tuesday at 11 o'clock? No. Which time zone are you in? All that. So Schedule Once is one of my favorite tools, but I have to admit that I haven't got a handle on that yet with Zapier. So it's something to learn to use, I guess, with time.
I mean, it's interesting for sure.
There's skills to be learned there. But I mean, a lot of it's pretty straightforward. And if it's really, really simple class, just repeated tasks, even little old me has learned to use that. So talking of primitive people like myself versus somebody with your amazing brain for this stuff, I know that you offer free consultation on this. So tell us a little bit more about that.
So we jump in and we'll help evaluate some of those tools. We do something called systems design, where we'll kind of look out and see what's going on in terms of how we see the stuff coming together, and will allow you to kind of get a better picture of what these systems look like, what they're interacting with each other. And we'll even try to automate something. We give a half an hour away for free, try to give you as much value as we possibly can. Just mention this podcast and we're here for you.
So just mention Amazing FBA or the 10K Collect podcast or Michael Veazey, whichever one you can remember when you get hold of you guys. And it's dataautomation.com. Is that right? That's where people need to go.
Correct. You nailed it.
Excellent. Well, look, it's been really fantastic trip through your brain. I love that nerd brain with the sword in the background. If you didn't see that one on the video, quite amazing. Genuine nerding going on here. But I'm pleased that I've used at least got some of the same tools as somebody of your caliber of automation expert, and I'm sure I could use them better. I mean, I know that Google Sheets, I've also had a business partner who was a bit of an expert on programming Google Sheets, and he did some amazing stuff. I was just standing there with my jaw on the floor. So, you know, that is Howard Potter wizardry. So I know that there's more to be learned, but even if you just go from Excel emailing back and forth on Excel to Google Sheets, for example, and start using Slack instead of Skype, then I think it's a jump forward in productivity. So really amazingly actionable episode, brilliant stuff. And many thanks for your more strategic level ones as well in the previous episodes. And anyone listening who hasn't heard that, really worth checking out. So Will, any last questions that I should have asked you before we wrap up?
No, I think we've done a very thorough job of extracting what was left in my brain. I'm going to go take a nap now.
Excellent. Well, many thanks for sacrificing your brain juice for us, which sounds even worse. And many, many thanks for coming on the show.
Yep. Glad to be here.
Thanks so much for listening to the 10K Collective podcast, part of the family of Amazing FBA podcasts. Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-Commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by yours truly and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Unami's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you're the owner of a thriving online business and you want to become the best e-commerce leader you can be, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many topics, go to www.theecommerceleader.com.